Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fix the Family Fix America Radio Show! Welcome to the Fix the Family Fix America Radio Show! Welcome to the Fix the Family Fix America Radio Show!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I have no idea if you can hear me or not. We are having some technical difficulties. I cannot hear myself. I have no feedback. I do not know if the show's music is playing. I kind of am having a little bit of issues. So right now, we have a guest today sometime this evening in about 15 minutes, and I'm going to try to get things live and here as fast as I possibly can. Give me a few minutes to keep checking. I am here if you can hear me. I hope that we are playing. Hello? I can hear that. I do not understand what's happening. I have no feedback, and that's not good because we have a guest on the show, like I said, today, and we really need to hear what's going on. Says I'm playing music, but I'm not playing any music. We're still here. Fix the Family, Fix America Radio. We are. I think we're going to. We're going to restart everything. If everyone doesn't mind, we are going to try to do this again. Let's see what we can do. Da 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 da. There's something slightly off. Slightly off today. Again, do not know if I can hear you. See if the call-in number works. I may have to thus the whole process over. Technical difficulties are crazy. Excuse the silence for 5 minutes. We'll be right back, hopefully, in a few short seconds. And we'll have a guest on today, and we'll get to it. Thank you very much, and have a great one. Wow, okay. Finally hear me. Had many, many technical difficulties. We will be there in 2 seconds. Just give me 1 second to get started. Thank you for joining Fix the Family, Fix America Radio Show. We are the most listened to family talk show in the universe. We start with positive fathering, make a difference mothering, pull through parenting, and finally reveal your success. And our plus one is disease in the diet, where we are helping stop degenerative diseases affecting families across this nation. We had so many technical difficulties for the last 20 minutes. We apologize to everyone. We do not know what happened, but we did not have any feedback on the line, so I couldn't hear or know what was playing. So I again apologize. But today we're going to get started right off the bat with a special, special guest. His name is Eric Leggett. And he is founder of Fathers with Voices. He has been doing this since 1996. He has had his own issues with childhood after separation and divorce, or with getting with his children and making sure that he was part of his life. He is an author of Closing the Curtain on Baby Mama Drama. He has done many, many things for lots of fathers, Fix the Family, Fix America, as you know. Also helps fathers doing whatever they need to do to be better fathers, even if they're not part of pull-through parenting in an uncertain situation. Mr. Leggett, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. How are you, sir?
Excellent. I'm perfectly fine, except for that wonderful snafu of being on the air where our switchboard had absolutely no feedback. So I apologize for being late to this interview, and but I can't help it. When electronics go awry.
Yeah, that's it. It's all good.
Okay, fantastic. Mr. Leggett, we're again happy to have you here, and we want to tell people about what you are. Now, on Fix the Family, Fix America, we go into many facets of fatherhood, as I was talking about. This being one of them, a father separated or divorced, but in this particular situation that you talk about, the father really would like to do the right thing, and he wants to be involved in their children's lives.
But, yeah, it's a – oh, I'm sorry, sir. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I was saying, but something goes awry, and the mom or the mother or the relationship between the mom and the dad is sometimes a little fraught with peril, and sometimes parental alienation occurs. Can you name some of those reasons of what's happening and tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I can. I would say over the course of my career, the number one reason for the parental alienation is the breakdown or the failure of the relationship between mom and dad. And what happens is that the residue of the failed relationship, it infiltrates and it blocks parental responsibility. In other words, in many cases, the parents are unable, in the sense, in the case of fathers, the mom is unable to accept that the relationship has broken down. And instead of moving on to the next phase of maturity, which is to say you and I are not parents, we have to become parents now. It goes to, well, I know you love your son and you love your daughter, and this is the way I'm going to hurt you the most, by keeping them away from you. So that seems to be the most significant and most popular problem in terms of how parental alienation occurs.
Now that right there is interesting. You touch very, very well on a subject that we talk with here at Fix the Family, Fix America, and one of those is Make a Difference Mothering. And one of the issues that you spoke about just now is where the mother's maturity level is not risen to the task of parenthood because they're still worried about how the relationship is broke down.
Mm-hmm. And the reason why I'm speaking again, because we're talking about fathers, it happens there are fathers who don't pay child support because mom has moved on to another relationship and he don't like the guy. But in the case
exactly.
of father. But in the case of fathers, what makes it even more of a problem for men is the fact that they have to navigate a system that historically favors mothers over fathers. So we're not just talking
right.
about a breakdown of a relationship. We're not just talking about mom not liking him, so on and so forth. We're talking about a form of institutionalized discrimination against men, and the problem that many fathers are facing when they have to navigate the system is that false allegations is a tremendous tactic that is successfully used against fathers. I went through that. If he's not prepared to deal with or how to handle that situation, a lot of men will walk away because of that. He has to deal with attorneys who he's paying thousands of dollars, and this is a really bad problem where fathers are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars and still no progress is made in their cases. So it's something that I am trying to get the attention of President Obama's fatherhood faith-based initiative, because I just think that more has to be done for the men that wants to be there, you know, and the legal issues is a tremendous obstacle. Even 15 years later, in terms of me starting my program in 1996, it's even more of a problem now, especially with the economical climate that we're living in. A lot of men, I'm finding over the past 5 years, they don't have that extra money to pay for an attorney. So they're kind of caught in a rock in a hard place.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your Fathers with Voices is going to be assisting in that manner, or are you trying? What were you trying to do with helping them that in that way?
Well, what my program does is we provide a lot of helpful information and resources to fathers to help them navigate the legal system better. And that has been the history and the success of my program in the past 15 years, is teaching men how they could be successful within the system. We give them tips on courtroom behavior and dress. We give them guides in terms of how to choose the right attorney. That is a very key area right there, because a lot of fathers, for example, will give an attorney $5,000 up front, and that attorney does not even have the expertise for the type of case that he's involved in. So it's those little tad bits of information that can save a lot of fathers, not only a lot of money, but also a lot of time in terms of not being able to successfully navigate the system.
Okay. Going back to the system, that is fantastic, and you're correct. It's well past 15 years. I know your father's voices was 1996, but even prior to that, the system definitely leaned toward the mother, as you stated. So really what you're trying to shoot for here is, as parents, whether it's the father or the mother, the system in some fashion needs to look at them equally and start basing their decisions on the true merits of the case and not really the parental position of the case, not just mother, father, but look at the parent that can provide for the best, especially if the father's trying to be that father and step up and be responsible.
Yeah, and what happens, sir, and I've seen this time and time again, and I'm still kind of going through it myself, even though I have custody of my daughter. I've had custody of my daughter for the past 5 years. But what the system does is that they allow that residue to overshadow the fact that the father has the right to be part of his son or daughter's life. In other words, when I mentioned about the false allegations, 75 to 80% of the time when false allegations are brought against men, an investigation is done and is labeled unfounded. But that father has already lost 6 months of visitation time in terms of unsupervised visitation. When a father is falsely accused, his visitation time, I would say 75 to 80% of the time, is ordered to be supervised. Okay? If he does not have the emotional wherewithal to continue to fight, then it will remain to be supervised for as long as a year. And that's what I'm saying. And thank God, 15 years ago when I went through this, my visits were supervised for about 6 months, and the mother was trying to force it to be 1 year. But I'm glad that I had the wherewithal, and also the attorney that I had, we both had the wherewithal to say, okay, where is your proof? Where is your evidence? Where is reports? Where is police reports? And she had none of that because there was no basis to the allegations. A lot of fathers don't have that wherewithal. And those are the little tad bits of information that I've been given to men over the past decade that has shortened their supervised visitation. So it's little tidbits of information like that I find to be very valuable for a lot of men when they're going through these situations.
Well, speaking of, having the resolute and the persistence, I can easily see how a lot of these situations escalate into where the father's going to screw it up for himself, because if you don't have the persistence and the patience when these allegations are made, and then these child visitations that are a person is
supervised visitation.
Supervised that childhood issue. So now the father, if he doesn't have the persistence and the patience and the information that you're providing, could potentially go in the wrong direction himself by making bad decisions, because he's sitting there looking at, she's sitting there saying this. Now I've got this person watching me with my child. I just start to feel this extra stress on me, and then eventually he may just snap and come right back, and then now he's totally messed up everything, and all his rights are going to go right out the window because of something, a snap bad decision that he makes.
And now I'm glad that you mentioned that, because that's very key. When men are involved in these types of cases, it's very important that he maintains his composure. And the reason why I send this message time and time again with men in terms of maintaining their composure and not losing their temper is because when my court case ended 15 years ago, that was one of the things that the judge presiding over my case sent word to my attorney and complimented me on. He said, you know, throughout this whole process, Mr. Leggett never lost his temper. And that goes back to my upbringing. My mom would always tell me and my dad would always tell me when I was growing up, if you're not guilty of something, there's no reason for you to be upset.
Correct.
It sounds very simple. Right. It sounds very simple, but it's true. And as I sat down, and it was difficult. I'm not going to lie to you. There was one time I did lose it, but we were outside of the courtroom. I never lost it inside of the courtroom in front of the judge. It's very difficult to hear someone say that you've done something that you know that you didn't do. It's very difficult because it does something to your character when you know that you haven't done anything, but it makes you feel like it's doing something to your character. So you have to keep reminding yourself that I'm not the person that this person is talking about. And that's something that I have to constantly reinforce to fathers, and they get it. They get it. My job is to constantly stay, kind of hang with them through that process to keep reminding him about that.
Yeah, that would seem like it would be one of the first things that you're going to have to talk with them about, because if the relationship has become so volatile where mm-hmm. the mom is going to start the parental alienation process and the father's mm-hmm. trying to, again, be responsible and step up, then mm-hmm. then the first step is to start walking on eggshells and mm-hmm. not have one of those bad decisions.
Oh, yeah, and it's a game. It's a baiting game. It's a baiting game in terms of trying to bait fathers, because that's the purpose of the false allegations. If I can get him in court with these false allegations and I can say enough things to make him lose his temper, then the odds of him having unsupervised visitation is totally against him for the next year or so. And that's how long it can last. So it's very disturbing, but you know, thank God my program has been very successful over the years, and I've been blessed to help a lot of fathers out of those situations over the past 15 years.
That's fantastic. Mr. Leggett, since we were late in talking, can you hang on through the break here, and we can continue mm-hmm. talking about your Fathers with mm-hmm. Voices?
Yes,
okay.
That's fine. Mm-hmm.
Okay, wait 1 second. We'll be right back. Ladies
okay.
and gentlemen, we are here because of sponsors like Soho Hero, and we were talking about fatherhood with Mr. Leggett, and fathers that are trying to, he talked about the economic doldrums that we're in. You too can become an entrepreneur, and you too can get help, and you can get that help at sandhill.sohooffice.com. Soho Office stands for Small Office Home Office Businesses. These are entrepreneurs that are stepping out and starting out from scratch. But with that, you can look big quickly. You can get your business cards, letterheads, envelopes, websites, logos, and your computer IT department all from one place, and that is at Soho Office. This particular Soho Office is in Columbia, South Carolina, at sandhill.sohooffice.com. Those people at Soho know how to navigate the waters of printing, know how to navigate the waters of looking big, looking like you're a big business, and you can be as large as you wish to be. If you are an entrepreneur starting up, you can do no better than going to sandhill.sohooffice.com and getting the help you need to get big quickly. And in this environment, being responsible for yourself, fathers, mothers, being responsible for your families, regardless of what the economic situation is, regardless of what the company that you're hired by does, if you start doing stuff on your own, you will be there for your family. And sandhill.sohooffice.com can help you be bigger, faster, all the time. Now, we are talking with Mr. Leggett, and we'll be right back with him. Mr. Leggett, you might like this little tune.
Okay.
Sometimes you have to speak.
Okay, that music is from Mr. Eric Leggett, founder of Fathers with Voices website. Mr. Leggett, you probably have heard that song before. When I went to your website, I was very, you couldn't figure out what was playing all of a sudden because there's no real player on the site, but that song just starts playing, and that was very encouraging to me, and the song's called Encourage Yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you are doing that with Fathers with Voices. You are encouraging fathers to step up and play the role of father, step mm-hmm. up and possibly play the game
mm-hmm.
because the system is skewed against them. And you're telling them to step up and make sure that they still play a positive role in their
right.
children's lives. Because
right.
if they misstep along the way, then suddenly that wish and desire of being a positive father is over with, because they made a bad decision during this separation or divorce.
Yeah, and a lot of fathers actually step up. My role is to make sure that they keep on, that they keep going. See, over the years, what I realize is that the situations are always the same. The only thing that changes are the faces. So when a father calls me, I would say 8 times out of 10, I've already heard that situation. I already know where to send him. I have a large database of information and resources all over this country. Because I get calls from men all over the country. Men feel that their situation is very dire. And a lot of fathers get taken aback by my calm demeanor, and I have to explain to them, I've already heard this before. I've traveled down this avenue before. This is what we're going to do. But you have to believe that you're going to get through this, and you have to do the work. And those are my... two statements to fathers. You have to believe that you're going to make it through. And number two, you have to do the work, because I can't do everything for him. I can't be in the courtroom for him. But if he listens and if he, you know, kind of hang with me and follow instructions, you know, he should be okay. And a lot of fathers have been reunited with their fathers with their children after being falsely accused. A lot of fathers have been able to win court-ordered visitation, and a lot of fathers have been able to win custody cases. So it's been an interesting journey.
Well, yes, and that calm demeanor and the seeing the situation before all comes from wisdom of helping so many fathers, I'm sure, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, our consortium of experts for Fix the Family, Fix America, you know, our four-part series, Positive Fathering being one of them, we sit there and we talk about you have to step up to the role and you have to do the work. We cannot, and you cannot either, do the work that is required for the father to do, because he's the one that is going to be the father of the child. We are not. You are not. He's the one that has to go through the system, the process, being in front of the judge and say all of the correct things so that he can continue to transform his children's lives the
mm-hmm.
correct way versus supervised situations or, you know, from long distance fathering, which doesn't really help that child, because the goal in our Fix the Family, Fix America is that child getting the best parents that he can, even if they're separated or divorced.
Right, right. And
now,
you're exactly – no, go ahead, sir.
Sorry, I was going to this quote you had in another interview. You said 40% of fathers are kept away from their children after separation and divorce. Now that means 40% of children are looking at a situation that is not their fault,
mm-hmm.
and they're getting the punishment from it. And basically, you know, this doesn't need to be a mother bashing, but at this point, we're talking about fathers that are thrown away by the parental alienation. The mom is saying, I'm going to punish you because I know what you love, and I'm going to stop you from getting it. And that 40% means 40% of children after a separation or divorce is not getting both parents.
That's exactly what that means. And again, that's the reason why I'm going to be – I just have to mail off the information. I'm going to be reaching out to President Obama's Fatherhood Faith-Based initiative, because I just don't think they're doing enough to look at separating divorced fathers. And I also have a problem with the slogan, which is no excuses. You know, we have to be very careful when we come up with these different slogans when we don't know fully both sides of the story. Yes, there are a number of fathers out there that's not doing the right thing. But let me ask you this, sir. What can you do to a man that is not willing to do something even the animals have the sense to do, and that is to take care of his own? Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, yes. I mean, if you're talking that you have a father that doesn't want to take care of his child, I
right.
Is that what you're?
Right. And
there's nothing
exactly
you and I can do.
No. And there are no laws. There are no laws. Listen, you know, there are fathers who believe that I should not be paying child support. Well, I've known men to do this, to quit jobs just to avoid paying child support. And you know, it's very disturbing to me that we sit around and we talk about old men, a lot of fathers that are not doing anything. Okay, we know that already. Why are we still talking about that? In my early stages of Fathers with Voices, I would get a lot of calls from listeners while I was on the air and say, well, Mr. Leggett, what are you doing for the fathers that are not doing anything? And my response is, what can I do? Don't you think it makes more sense to work with the men that are trying to stay there, that have the wherewithal and the integrity to be there? I mean,
and
does
desire.
That make sense to you? Right, and desire.
Yes.
Right. That is where the energy should go, but it seems like the energy is constantly being put out there for men that don't want to be there. I can't understand that, and that has been going on for 15 years, and it really boggles my mind. It does. I'm sorry, I just went on a little tantrum there.
That's okay, and see, that tangent is right up the alley of exactly what we talk about. I mean, when we do any of the positive fathering stuff, we sit there, our very first thing is, you know, you have to have the desire. You have to have the wherewithal to sit here, listen to what we have to say, and then you've got to accomplish it yourself. We cannot do it for you, and you cannot do it for them either. And I think it's sensational journalism that takes the deadbeat dads into effect and possibly part of another type of journalism where they're showing, look at the sad portion of this problem. And that's where a mother gets absolutely no help.
Right, right.
You know,
and
you've got a deadbeat father. Right.
Right.
Go ahead.
Because a father that's doing the right thing don't sell a lot of papers. It's not great news. If I be put on CNN as the president and founder of Fathers with Voices that have helped thousands of men over the past 15 years, as opposed of me hypothetically writing a book and saying, I have the names of 10,000 of the most notorious deadbeat fathers. Now, which news show do you think, which story do you think CNN will pick up?
Well, they will pick up that deadbeat
right.
fathers, exactly.
Exactly. So it goes back to a deeper situation, whereas this is what we as society feed off of. We feed off of the negative, and that's what we're more interested in, and that's the reason why you don't hear a lot about the struggles and hardships of fathers. I've been able to get on a lot of media across this country when I started talking about the number of men that have and are continuing to commit suicide that are involved in these cases. Do you see what I'm saying? A lot of people don't know that men are taking themselves out because they can't. So much have been stripped from them that's their only recourse is to commit suicide. So it's just a very disturbing trend that I've seen over the years.
And you're exactly right. The sensational journalism focusing on the negative, one of the things that you and I are probably doing exactly the same is we are trying to focus on the positives of parenting, fathering, and mothering. And that doesn't make sell a lot of papers, as you just said. Because if you've got a deadbeat dad on the cover, wanted deadbeat dad right on the cover of the front page, that's going to get you way more than, check out this father who took his child to the zoo yesterday.
Right, right. And you know, it only touches the hardcore. And this is what I noticed about the media. And don't get me wrong, I have met some beautiful people through this journey within the media. But what I noticed about the media is that it doesn't touch their heart cords unless there's a family member that is going through it. And that's another way that I've been able to get on a lot of radio and television shows, because when they receive the fax or email talking about my program, the program directors and the producers who are responsible for scheduling people on their show, they are directly linked to it through family members or friends. You see what I'm saying? So
exactly,
I would say maybe 45 to 50% of my media appearances have come from I have a friend or I have a excuse me, a family member that is going through this. We would love for you to come on the show.
Right, and that, you know, personal situations definitely go into it. Like this, everything that I'm doing started from my birth of my premature daughter, and there's a premature baby born every minute, every 60 seconds. But until it hits someone in the media, they're not really going to talk about it because it's not something you're going to say. Because, again, something happening every minute is not sensational news. But that's affecting two people and more. That's affecting two parents and their extended family every 60 seconds. But that doesn't, that again, doesn't get anybody on there until that news person is touching that situation. And that happens very often. I've experienced the exact same thing as you.
Right.
It's very amazing. And we spend a lot of time, as I'm sure you do, trying to get our message to reach more and more people. And I'm certain that you are, that's the reason we are together right now trying to spread this message. You're on Fix the Family, Fix America, one of the largest family talk shows in the universe. Mm-hmm. And this process that you're talking about where the separation or divorce happens, we try to keep them together in Fix the Family, but we also have the mantra that if it doesn't work, you have to find a way to amicably separate and take care of the children. That is the main key. Also, while focusing on the father and mother's own success, because each individual in the family having success is going to bring about a more harmonious situation for the family.
You're right.
So,
Go ahead. Yeah, and as far as maturity, that's something that I touched on throughout my book, that it's very important that, somehow programs have to be set up where in the midst of these debates or disagreements between mothers and fathers, something should be done to educate mothers. To educate a mother, to share with her the emotional ramifications of lack of or no father involvement, to give her a clear understanding of the consequences of using her power of custody for evil. For example, if there's a girl that we're talking about, a daughter, some of the things that they label as a detriment to girls without lack of or no father involvement is, teen pregnancy and promiscuous behavior. And for boys, not having a sense of responsibility, not knowing what it takes to be a responsible man, the risk of going to juvenile state-operated institutions or prisons. These are the things that a lot of women should hear. And unfortunately, they don't. They don't. So, you know,
you're
not hearing.
You're exactly right. So the flip side of fathers with voices is mothers that should listen up. Because you've got a lot of fathers out there that are trying to step up and do that, but then you on the flip side you have the mothers that are holding it down and they're not seeing the ramifications of their decision.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, and that's the reason why we've got the 4-part series. Now we're gonna do more and more with Fathers with Voices, Fix the Family, Fix America, Positive Fathering is, and hopefully we will get you into some of our workshops and seminars where we're going across the country, where you can come in and work on that situation as the fathers come into our positive fathering seminars and even come in through our pull-through parenting seminars where you could talk to them and show the before. In case you're thinking of separating, let's start the process correctly.
Exactly. You know, let's work on a co-parenting plan now. Let's get our issues out of the way now. You know, let's get our personal issues out of the way now. And I think that one of the things that parents could benefit from, and a lot of parents do it, is mediation. But during that mediation time, there should be a child psychologist present. There should be somebody that can give that type of information about the emotional ramifications of lack of a no father involvement in the life of a little boy or little girl. So that can definitely give a mom a frame of reference to say, okay, I love my son or daughter. I don't want to put my child through that. And what you're seeing, sir, is a real level of immaturity. And that's the problem all across the board when it comes to our children. There is a sense of selfishness and lack of maturity on the part of parents, and you're seeing it as a result of the conditions of many of our children today.
You are right up our alley right there, Eric. Let me tell you why. Because we're seeing a generation that has had a transformation from their parents having issues now. Mm-hmm. Coming into the fact that the children of the parents from generations past having the issues and the non-responsibilities for their self now is putting that on that immaturity, that lack of responsibility, that lack of self-esteem, that selfishness of it's all about me being pushed down to the generation now that they have children. We have a segment, and indulge me here for 2 seconds. We have a segment every week on the show called Mother of the Week or Father of the Week or Parent of the Week, and it's not really a good award that you want to have. And this month was Mom just got life sentence for locking her children in a hotel, extended stay hotel bathroom for 9 months. Her 11-year-old daughter, 10-year-old, and 5-year-old sons were locked in the extended stay hotel bathroom while she and her hubby played around, did all of their all about me kind of stuff, but didn't care about their children. So they just put them in a bathroom and basically almost starved them. The children were skeletons with skin on them, according to the authorities. Now, me and you cannot assist those two individuals. We can only right now help those children.
Exactly, and that's a perfect example of what I'm speaking of. You know, when I was growing up, you know, 20 years ago, I'm 41 years old, and 30 years ago, everything was about the children. I'm not saying in all cases, but in my community, the parents put their children first. We lived in a community in Brooklyn, New York, where sometimes I actually get choked up thinking about my childhood because I wish that I could give my children the childhood that I had. And I'm not saying that my children have a bad childhood, but that sense of community, that sense of togetherness that we had as a community where we looked out for each other. I lived in the same community from the time I was in elementary school until college. And all of my friends basically lived there too. with the exception of maybe, you know, three or four that moved out the neighborhood but kept coming back to the neighborhood. And what you see now is there isn't a real love for children from parents. You know, down here in North Carolina, when we had the heat wave over the past month and a half, so many stories of parents leaving their children in the car with the windows up. Okay, it's
now,
been
see, that's
95.
Just,
yeah, go ahead.
That's just ignorance.
It really is. You think about how hard a vehicle could get. It's already 98, 99. It's gone up as high as 104 down here. You think about that. It's already 98 degrees. The car, the windows is rolled up, so it could be as hot as 120, 130 degrees. And thank God somebody saw the kids in the car, and when they caught the mother, was like, oh, I was just in the store shopping. I was only in there for about 10 minutes. I mean, these are the little, excuse, you know, my language, these are the little dumb remarks that you hear. And, I mean, it's just things that I didn't see as a child, or I didn't read in the newspaper as a child, with the number of incidents involving children. It's just really mind-boggling, and it's really, really sad. I really do feel sorry for a lot of the children today. I do.
And that's the whole reason we founded Fix the Family, Fix America, and I'm sure that's the reason you have your Fathers with Voices. And
mm-hmm.
we have got to, you know, off this air and for the next week or so, me and you are going to start talking of ways that we can start doing things together.
I
believe we complement each other in what we're trying to do. If not, it's exactly the same in parallel, and maybe we can together combine forces. We can get bigger faster, and we're about to run out of time. We'll get bigger faster by working on it. And
right.
We have 90 seconds, Eric, and I totally appreciate it. And again, sorry about the snafu there at the beginning. I would like to have you back on so that we can go into, I'd like to have your opinions on exactly why you think there's a prevalent ignorance in parenting today. I want to have your opinion on what you think the maturity level, how we can educate and raise the maturity level of parents. And I would like you for the next 45 seconds, tell everyone how to get in touch with you, and
mm-hmm.
then they can do that as well. Go right ahead.
Okay. The best way to get in touch with me is through email, and my email address is fatherswithvoices@yahoo.com. Again, it's fatherswithvoices@yahoo.com. And my website is fatherswithvoices.info, I-N-F-O. And thank you so much
Excellent.
For inviting
me. Excellent. And Mr. Leggett, I will speak with you to have you on again. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to Fix the Family, Fix America. Now go do your work, then go home and kiss your spouse, kiss your children, and have a good night. Eric, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, I don't think we're live, but that was fantastic. And again, apologize for the snafu afterwards.
No, that's fine. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really do appreciate it, and it was a great interview. Thank you.
Well, I would love to have you back on soon so that we can go into those two things that we were hitting on right at the end. I believe we were getting to the meat of the issue that you and I are seeing when we try to help these people, and because there's so many that we can't help, we, me and you, need to figure out exactly how to overcome that parental ignorance, overcome that parental selfishness. What is it
right.
going to take for us to reach people that aren't listening?
No, man. I wish I had the answers. I think people are having children for the wrong reasons. I
yes.
think people's childhood, in terms of how they were brought up, they just more or less extend that to their children. It's just so much that goes into play in terms of what is happening to children today, that there's just no real easy answer to kind of like come up with, you know. It's just so many dynamics that come into play, because like I said before, when I was growing up, you didn't read a lot about child abuse and, you know, parents killing their children and things of that nature. You didn't hear about,
or lock them in a closet.
Right. You really didn't hear a lot about those types of situations. You just didn't. And it's so prevalent now that, you know, there is a very disturbing trend that's happening right now. And what's interesting about it, I know I'm being long-winded, is that a lot of fathers could help alleviate a lot of the things that's going on right now. And what you're seeing right now in terms of the legal system is a vicious cycle of money. And when people ask me about why the system is that way, if the system all of a sudden became an equal plane, then
right.
Judges would not earn a lot of money. Lawyers would not have as many cases. Law guardians would not have as many cases. Court officers would not have their jobs. They know exactly what they're doing. And it's our fault as individuals, because we take our problems to a system that cares nothing about any of us. they really don't. They just don't. And I've always told people on the air, on television, or wherever I've appeared, I'm not an advocate of this legal system. But if this is the best way for a father to stay connected, then he has to become well-versed and know how to play their game in order to get what he wants.
Exactly. And, you know, the legal system is definitely, you know, it's the best in the world, but it does have its flaws. But I think that if we wouldn't have so much need for the legal system if we could raise the level of intelligence, if we could raise the level of maturity. We probably wouldn't need the legal system as often, because as we spoke earlier, we were talking about fathers that make that bad decision, or suddenly it's over. If you can stop mothers from doing the alienation, doing the accusations, being immature in the way that they are holding the father down, and being immature in the way they're punishing their children, we probably could do away with 90% of that legal issue, because we now have two responsible, emotionally mature adults sitting down going, okay, we have to do this for the children, regardless of what we think of ourselves.
Right, and you're exactly right. But we have to take care of our own business. And I always, if I can, there have been times when I've been able to talk to both parents and just say, look, it's not about you and it's not about him. If you really care about your child, don't take your grievances to the, and I've helped people come up to agreements without utilizing the legal system. It's not very hard. It's not hard. But you have to teach grown people how to separate their personal relationships from their parental responsibility. and you have to teach them. You have to really teach them how to do that, because they are so stuck on the personal relationship that they don't understand that there's two worlds that exist between them, and they have to put the personal to the side for the greater good. And again, it comes back to putting children ahead of you. And that's the way it was when I was growing up. Children always came first. But today, as parents, I deserve to have a life. But nobody told you to lay down and have sex. And then the after effect or the result of that is a child. They don't think about that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and I've heard a lot of young mothers say...
there's a whole social aspect, too.
Right, there's a social aspect to it. because I've heard a lot of mothers, you know, make that comment. I deserve to have a life. Okay,
yep.
You can still have that life, but you chose to engage in sexual activity. And that's another thing. A lot of people have too much confidence in contraceptives. They do.
Right. Or they're ignorant to the fact of how, you know, the sexual act is going to have the potential to change their lives. I mean, they may say that they may know, you know, condoms and other contraceptives, but the fact is that they need to utilize more than just that in their decision making. I mean, you shouldn't just say, you know, there's birth control, so why not just go ahead and go crazy?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I, again, thank you for the opportunity. Me and my daughter's about to run out to see my mom and dad that lives about 2 hours away, so
well,
I have to get on the road.
My mother's currently, it's my mother's birthday, and she's battling pancreatic cancer right now, so me and my daughter are about to do the same thing.
Okay.
She lives two miles away, so. But
okay.
I'm writing you a note to your email, fathersbothvoices@yahoo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the interview and hopefully have you on again in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And with no snafu this time, so we can talk longer and more on the things that we talked about at the end, the maturity level and the education level. How do we get that up? And then anything else that I can do to help you and both of us help parents and fathers from this point on. Again, I've been doing this now for a year,
mm-hmm.
the whole Fix the Family, Fix America. And we have a consortium of experts. We have relationship experts, career experts, all kind of stuff. So we're now going to pull you into the fold so that when fathers are facing this, we're going to have you be the, you know, divorce and separation expert in that aspect of the father trying to fight his way to be the father and be responsible.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I was just saying I look forward to that, really.
Yeah, anything that I can do for you, you let me know, and I'll send you this email, and you put some thoughts together and have fun with your daughter, and again, thank you, and we'll do this again.
Okay, and your mom will be in my prayers.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.